Welcome to Shir and Shem Yishmol Parshas B'Chukosai. I wanted to see tonight a piece which is in the Sfarim on page Shin Ayin Dalad. Like many of the pieces in the Shem Yishmol, it's a piece that the Shem Yishmol said, you know, on some form or another early in his career, and then kept coming back to the same idea and embellishing it and improving on it a little bit. So we'll see one of the later versions of this idea where he references, you know, the basic idea that he had said, you know, years before, and gives us, the embellishments, you know, the later additions to the idea that he added on later in his career. This is from Tof Reish Ayin Hey, in other words, 1915. V'zocharti es brisi Yaakov. Right, at the end of the Tolchacha, we know that the Parshas B'Chukosai contains a long description of the good things that will happen to the Jewish people if we follow the mitzvos, and the bad things that will happen to the Jewish people if we don't follow the mitzvos. And at the end of that long Tolchacha, that long admonition, the Torah says, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'zocharti es brisi Yaakov, V'af es brisi Yitzchak, V'af es brisi Avram. You know, in the end of the day, even though the Jews will have sinned and will have been sent into exile and suffered all kinds of terrible things, God says, I'm not going to forget the Jewish people. I remember my covenant with Yaakov, with Yitzchak, and with Avraham. And, you know, I'll eventually enable the Jews to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov is written there with a vav, uncharacteristically. Usually Yaakov is without a vav, yud, ayin, kuf, vez. Here Yaakov is written with a vav between the kuf and the vez. So Rashi comments, b'chamisha mekomos nichtav Eliyahu chaser v'Yaakov mole. There are five places in the Tanakh where the word, where the name Eliyahu, Elijah, is written as Eliyah, right? You know, without the final vav, it's not Eliyahu, but Eliyah. And there are five places where Yaakov is spelled with the extra vav, right? So five missing vavs with Eliyahu, five extra vavs with Yaakov. Why is that? It's not for naught, says Rashi. She Yaakov avino natal me Eliyahu os vav eiravon. She yavo v'yavaser geulas bonov. We know that Eliyahu Hanavi, the pasuk tells us, is going to come before Mashiach to herald the arrival of the ultimate redemption. So, you know, who's going to make sure that Eliyahu will actually come? Yaakov Avinu? How do you make sure that Eliyahu is going to come? So Yaakov went to Eliyahu. He took five vavs from various manifestations of Eliyahu's name throughout Tanakh, and he's keeping these vavs for himself, Yaakov Avinu. So that accounts for the missing five vavs of Eliyahu, the extra five vavs of Yaakov. Basically, Yaakov is telling Eliyahu, Eliyahu, my dear Eliyahu, if you want your vavs back, you better come and redeem the Jewish people. Very colorful medrash, you know, certainly a very memorable medrash. What on earth does it mean? What does it mean? I mean, clearly it's not to be understood entirely literally. I mean, what does it mean that Yaakov is holding on to a vav from Eliyahu's name, five vavs from Eliyahu's name, that, you know, he's only going to hand back to Eliyahu when Eliyahu comes to bring the geula? What on earth is being expressed by that idea? Right, so that actually works out very well with this medrash. Now, hinei anochi shaleach lachem es Eliyahu hanavi and malachi. So Eliyahu is sent in order to retrieve his missing vav, you know, because he's finally fulfilling his mission of, you know, heralding Mashiach. But again, what does that mean? I mean, clearly it means something. Clearly, it means something beyond what it says. You know that Eliyahu somehow is missing vavs. You know, and Yaakov has them. What does it mean? Kfar amarnu lefaresh heyos os vav hu os emes. Says the Shem Yishmol, we've explained earlier. He quotes the Zohar to reinforce this idea that the letter vav in particular is the letter which represents truth. Right, represents emes. Why does vav represent emes? So again, he quotes the Zohar. We might suggest, again, this is us, so not the Zohar, but we might suggest vav is an unvarnished letter. It's about as simple a letter as you can get. Truth is unvarnished. Right? In other words, when people start adding all kinds of things, you know, all kinds of additions and, you know, fancy additives, you know, so that takes away from the truth. Truth is something straight, like a vav. What's a vav? You know, it's basically just a line. Yeah. Right, very, very, very beautiful, right? And a vav, actually, vav in Hebrew means a hook. Right, so the idea of vav representing a connection is a beautiful idea as well. So, you know, perhaps emes is the connection between heaven and earth, and truth is the connection between heaven and earth. Yeah. Right. Okay. So we'll talk about the shloshes remidos bez Hashem. Yeah, very good. Okay. So vav represents emes. Uvishas avodazara daftalid omid beis the bishal shol sorry shal shakolish baruch yoshev baosik batarid kasif bei emes. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah describes, again, in a Gemara that obviously has to be understood non-literally, the Gemara describes the daily schedule of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So for the first 3 hours of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits and is involved in Torah study, says the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Torah study is called Eves. And during that period of time, God executes judgment in an exacting fashion. He doesn't go with him Mishuras Hadin, i.e. he doesn't cut anybody any slack. Right? Whatever justice demands is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meets out during that period of time. Why? Because pure unadulterated justice is blind. You know, this pure unadulterated justice doesn't make any allowances for, you know, whatever, you know, all the excuses that we constantly use to explain why, you know, why the judgment shouldn't apply to us. You know, pure MS and mishpat and judgment go together.
Okay, he's be technical, I just trying to be technical. For me, the first 3 hours of which day? Of whose day?
Any day, any.
But based on which time zone? Are you still where? I mean, what?
I don't know. That's what I said. The Gemara obviously.
Meaning it ending somewhere in the world, time.
Right. So the Gemara can't be understood in a pure literal fashion. So I don't know. So the Alkane Eliyahu Shemidoso Emes Kibemedrish Shlach Archa Vamitcha Archa Zemelech HaMoshiach Vamitcha Ze Eliyahu Lod Hoyo Yochol Lispol Es Hayotzei Mishuris Hadin Bikinei Lishmo Yisbarach Shemo Kibemedrish. The Midah of Eliyahu Hanavi, as is evident just from reading the stories in Tanakh, says the Shem Yishmuel, is this pure, unadulterated commitment to emes, right? Eliyahu cared about truth and truth alone. And for that reason, Eliyahu is really the extreme example of a kanoi, of a zealot. Right? Because what's a zealot? A zealot is essentially somebody who says, look, this is the emes, right? This is the way it's supposed to be. This is the truth. Okay, when you kind of try to apply the MS to real life situations and to real life people, sometimes you have to make allowances. That's where lifting Mishuras Hadin, going, you know, stretching the letter of the law comes in, right? You know, a person takes into account extenuating circumstances and things of that nature. That's not Eliyahu. Eliyahu says, you know, if the Jewish people have sinned, they deserve to be punished. We know the story in Tanakh tells us that after Eliyahu's victory against the Nevi'i HaBaal, against the prophets of Baal, so, you know, Eliyahu was in high spirits. Jezebel said, okay, that's it, I'm going to kill him, Queen Jezebel. And the people once again turn back against Eliyahu, turn back to Avodah Zarah. And Eliyahu runs away. He runs away. Goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, you know, I can't take this. I don't understand. I'm sticking up for what's right. And, you know, the queen wants to kill me. The king wants to kill me. The people are embracing Avodah Zarah. What's going on over here? You know, where is the emes? Because Eliyahu's commitment to emes, the truth, was so solid, but also, in a sense, so narrow that he couldn't work with the idea of going lifting Mishuras Hadin, of cutting people slack because of the emes. Uvasher Eliyahu avgoel shelo osid im hoyo mabit al yisrael b'midat fo emes shelo lo hoyo efshe sheyigalu. Now, the fact that Eliyahu is so committed to emes in an unvarnished sense makes it rather difficult for Eliyahu to be involved in the geula. Why? Well, because Eliyahu's perspective certainly is, I'm not going to come and redeem the Jewish people until they're really ready and until they're really deserving. And if you're coming from an MS point of view without any adulteration, when exactly are we going to be ready and when exactly are we going to be deserving? Yeah, I don't really want to know the answer to that question, right? In other words, Klal Yisrael, we're schlepping along, we're doing the best that we can, but, you know, at what point are we going to be deserving from a pure MS point of view to get Eliyahu? I don't know. You know, it's not a simple thing. Yeah. Right, but I guess, you know, again, I don't know how this works exactly, but I guess, you know, if he's dragged screaming and kicking, you know, to bring about the geula, that's maybe not such a good thing either. Right, so you might say, you know, if his role is to encourage people to do tshuva, he's actually, and Ish Emes is the best person to do that because he doesn't pull any punches. But at the same time, Eliyahu is only going to be sent when HaKadosh Baruch Hu deems it right for us to, for the geula to come. What's that?
What do you need him for? Why do you need him to come?
Right, you know, or, I mean, again, maybe this is what the Shemesh Shmuel means. If Eliyahu's role is to come and to get us to do tshuva, and then to report back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he thinks we did a good job, as an Ish Emes, you know, he might, his standards might be beyond anything that we could have possibly achieved, right? Maybe that's what the Shemesh Shmuel was saying. Right, Pinchas is the ultimate kanoi. That's why the Midrashim identify Pinchas with Eliyahu, because again, they're cut from the same cloth, they're the same character. Right, I mean, according to the Midrashim, literally the same character, but I mean, you know, they're the same type of person, that same unadulterated, I don't care, you know, Cosby and Ziri, whoop, spear, done, you know, no ands, no ifs, no buts, no looking back. So that's Eliyahu. Eliyahu is the ultimate Ish Emes, which makes it difficult for him to really be the one who's going to usher in the geula. V'zeu shenotal Yaakov Avinu olav Yaakov Avinu mimenu ha'os vav hu os emes hainu shelo yabit bohem b'midas ha'emes elifnim mishura sadin. So what it means that, says the Shem Yishmur, what it means that Yaakov took the vav from Eliyahu is that Yaakov said to Eliyahu, cut the Jews some slack. Don't look at them with the midas for MS alone. Look at them with MS, but filtered through a certain prism. Right? You know, be nice to them. Right? You know, your unadulterated MS may destroy the Jewish people. Be nice to the Jewish people. Cut them some slack. Again, presumably it doesn't mean, you know, let your midas ha'emes go out the window, you know, that clearly the Jewish people are going to have to achieve some level of readiness for Moshiach to come. And Yisrael Nigal and Elevit Tshuva, Jewish people are only redeemed through Tshuva. But, you know, you can, as someone who was grading finals myself not so long ago, you know, there are ways you can grade to help the students pass, and there are ways you can grade to not help the students pass. In my younger years, I was always careful. You know, sometimes some of the kids, as they got older, offered to help out a little bit with the grading, and I always found that my students did not do well. You know, when my Abba, what it. Why should mark that correct? I mean, the guy, you know, said a couple of words that were remotely relevant to the question that she asked. Okay, well, but it was ballpark. It was ballpark. I mean, you know, maybe it was a different ballpark. I don't know. You know, the Chicago Cubs and, you know, you're trying to get the New York Yankees. I mean, it's maybe a different ballpark. Okay, but, you know. So, you know, there's MS, but, you know, Yaakov Avinu reminds Eliyahu, you have to have MS, which is going to be mitigated if the geula is going to come. That's the vav that he took away. He took away the unadulterated midas ha'emes, And Kishiyavo v'yavaster gulas banav, when Eliyahu finally comes and lets us know that Moshiach is coming, oz yachzir lo midas ha'emes. So then Yaakov Avinu will give back the vav, the midas ha'emes, to Eliyahu. In other words, that's what it means that he took it as an eravam, that he took it as a surety, he took it as collateral. I'm holding on to this vav because I want you, Eliyahu, to soften up a little bit. And after you come, and you enable Moshiach to come, so then you can have your midas ha'emes back. Right? That's the basic idea which he explains earlier, in the earlier years, as to what this Rashi is talking about. But then he adds the following. V'ko'ez niri li lahosif ba'dvar. Says the Shem Yishmol, I want to add an extra layer to this idea that the Midas HaEmes is really what's being discussed over here. The Midas HaEmes Eliyahu has is taken away from him by Yaakov, is going to be given back to him. Dihinei Midas HaEmes Hidavr she'ein lo sof u'gvul v'hu b'riach ha'tichon ha'mavriach min ha'kotzer el ha'kotzer v'chol ma'ash shilu madrega ha'namucho yikorei emes k'shemagin lo madrega gevoa mimena adayin ein ze emes ki yodua la'an she'i levav. Says the Shem Yishmuel, emes is not something which is always absolute. There are different levels of emes, of truth. And something that strikes us as true, really strikes us as true on one level, sometimes when we get to a different level of understanding, we realize that that elementary understanding, which we thought was true, is really not a full conception of what truth is all about. Right. To put this, let's say, in mathematical terms, I don't pretend to be a mathematician, but you know, certainly there are certain concepts in mathematics that an elementary school age child learns, which when he or she, you know, goes further in their study of mathematics, you realize that, you know, the mathematical world is far more complicated than what you learned as a kid. And that certain concepts which you thought were true based on your limited understanding turn out, upon reflection, that there's a deeper truth which shows you that, you know, that thing is not, you know, it's not wrong, but it's not the fullest expression of truth either. You have this a lot in learning, right? I mean, when somebody's young, so they learn halacha. How do you learn halacha? You take a kitzur shulchan aruch, you go through, and you think life is simple, right? The kitzur tells you this is mutter, the kitzur tells you this is aser. And then, you know, if you're zocha, you get a little bit older, and you start learning, you know, there's the Gemara, there's the Torah Beis Yosef, there's the Shulchan Aruch, there's Nosei Kalim. And it's not that what the Shulchan Aruch wrote is not, that's not what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch wrote is not true. It's true, but it's also not necessarily the full richness of the truth either. In other words, the sugya, the discussion, the topic, is much deeper and wider than you would think just learning the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So does that mean we shouldn't learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch? No, it doesn't mean we shouldn't learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, because that, again, is true on a very, very basic level. But, again, a person develops his understanding and realizes that, you know, truth can be much deeper than the truth that you thought was true, you know, when you analyze something superficially. Who's the Kani? Ha'admar ha'gadol zechet tzadik livracha mikotsk higidsh nekudas ha'emes lo ha'isa ela b'kohen gadol b'shosh shenichlas l'fnai v'lifnim b'yom ha'kipurim. My Zayda, the Kotzker Rebbe, says the Shem Yishmo, who, by the way, the Kotzker was famous for his devotion to the whole idea of emes, I mean, to a point. I mean, if anyone was going to be identified with Eliyahu and this sort of relentless commitment to emes, that was Kotzk. You know, that a person had to be ruthlessly honest with himself, you know, and his self-analysis. So the Kotzker Rebbe, as the Tzal said, that the only real point of emes in the world exists when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim on Yom Kippur. Meaning, everything we see in the world is only partially true, or truth filtered through a certain prism. Right, it's next to impossible to really isolate absolute truth. We were zocher back on Monday to have a wonderful speaker from YU, Rabbi Doniel Feldman, who came and spoke about his recently published sefer about Lashon Hara. So one of the beautiful points that he made, both in the presentation as well as in the sefer, is, you know, he spoke about why is it that Lashon Hara applies to making statements that are true. Right? That's well known. You know, if a person says something derogatory about somebody else, even if it's true, right, it falls into the category of Lashon Hara. Well, why is that? I understand, you know, American society has a concept called slander, libel. You know, I can't go around saying something false that's derogatory about somebody. But if I say something true about somebody that's derogatory, in America we call that a newspaper story, right? I mean, that's, we don't see anything wrong with that in our American society. Why is the halacha so insistent that that's so terrible? So the point Rabbi Feldman made, which I thought was just a beautiful, beautiful point, he said, because as much as the speaker may think that he's expressing something true, the listener always filters it through his own filter. And in any conversation, what the speaker says is not necessarily what the listener hears. Even when everyone is trying to be above board, right? In other words, we hear what we want to hear. So the speaker may say something that he thinks is true. The hearer, the listener, may hear something very, very different. May take away something very, very different. So in a sense, it's almost impossible to say something quote-unquote true, that's derogatory about something, about somebody. Any expression that a person has on some level is not really going to capture the absolute truth. So it strikes me that idea, very insightful idea, is to some extent what the Kotzker is expressing over here, what the Shem Yishmol is expressing over here. Namely, you know, it's virtually impossible to really capture absolute truth in the world in which we live. Everything is filtered, you know, through our understanding of truth, our perception of truth. You know, to be able to really get at the actual point of truth itself is something that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur can achieve. Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Isn't this kind of fire-shitting the idea that, I mean, one religion is the ultimate truth, like ours? I mean, that's what the Buddhists think of remitted past to God, maybe that's true.
Right. So if there's no absolute truth, where does that leave us in Yiddishkeit? Yiddishkeit, we do believe in absolute truth, right? So where does that come in? So I think what the Kotzker is, I feel absolutely convinced, you know, that the Kotzker would the Shem Yishmol would affirm, you know, the absolute truth of Torah and the like. But I think what they're saying is as follows. You know, reality is out in the world. In other words, a spiritual reality such as Torah, we believe that that's absolute truth. Realities out in the world, you know, in the world around us, are difficult to pin down with absolute certainty, right? Again, you know, and they've done studies on this. A crime scene unfolds. 10 of us are witnesses to the crime scene. All 10 of us are interviewed by the police afterwards. All 10 of us have a slightly different version of the events that unfolded in front of our eyes. And all 10 of us think we're telling the truth. Why? Because the truth is filtered through our perspective. Truth be told, even Torah is filtered through our perspective. Right? In other words, and that's why we have machlokas. That's why we have, you know, we open up a page of Gemara and you have different holy Tanoim, you know, saying different things about halacha or whatnot, because, you know, even these Tanoim are perceiving the truth of Torah through the way that they see it. Now, that doesn't make it bad, because, again, we have no choice. I mean, we're human beings. We have to try to understand the Torah to the best of our ability, right? But, you know, even something like Torah, we believe that the Torah in a pristine sense is absolute truth, but the way we interpret and understand the Torah, you know, almost by definition, is going to have to be filtered through our ability to understand it, you know, as best we can. So there's this idea that truth is the absolute truth is hard to get at.
So
Adayin lo nechsheves etzlo le'emes. Ki lefi omek ha'mayla, kein himidas ha'emes shelo. We said before, says the Shem Yishmol, that Eliyahu represents this idea of emes, truth. Well, Yaakov also represents the idea of emes, of truth. That's the pasuk we say every day in Darim. Tite emes le Yaakov. Right? The midah of truth is associated with Yaakov Avinu. So isn't it a little bit funny that Eliyahu is absolute truth? So he's not going to be quote unquote so good to bring about the Geula. So who's our big savior? Who's going to save us from the absolute truth of Eliyahu? Yaakov Avinu! But wait a minute, but Yaakov Avinu is also the midah of emes. So you're back to where we started. How is Yaakov Avinu with his emes going to save us from Eliyahu Anavi with his emes? So says the Shem Yishmua, you have to understand that Yaakov Avinu's emes is a deeper and more true emes than the emes of Eliyahu HaNavi. They're both emes. But if Yaakov Avinu is the ultimate midas ha-emes, that means that Yaakov Avinu represents emes in an even deeper way than does Eliyahu. And then he writes as follows: We alken lefi mahus midas ha-emes Eliyahu hayanir miyisar shalzu v'shvisar shem Eliyahu kinei alzeh. Eliyahu was an ish emes, and when Eliyahu looked at the Jewish people, he saw Jewish people who were wayward, who had abandoned HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had gone off from the Derech HaTorah, and that was emes on Eliyahu's level. Ach lefi midas ha'emes lo Yaakov haynu shebaomek yoser nira shekolchei Yisrael hu rak b'chitzonius aval b'pnimius Yisrael shu efsem Yisrael ein bohem chet ki achet hu rak b'mikre v'hamikre lo yasmid. But Yaakov Avinu was also able to see emes. But Yaakov Avinu's emes was a deeper emes than Eliyahu. Eliyahu looked at the Jewish people and he saw people who had abandoned Torah and had gone away from it. Yaakov Avinu, with his deeper midas ha-emes, looked at the same people and he said, okay, I see that these people have left the path temporarily, but I see that deep down, these are people who are really committed. And you just need to brush off some of that sin to be able to reveal the true, you know, interior that these Jews possess. They're both exemplars of Midas HaEmes. But the Emes of Yaakov is an even deeper and a more profound Emes than that of Eliyahu. You know, they tell the famous story about the Berditchev and the Kedushas Levi. That the Kedushas, many stories about the Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi, they say, saw a Jew on the side of the road, fixing the wheel on his wagon, in his talus, in his tefillin, and he was davening shacharis. So, you know, the average person looks at a scene like that and says, how disrespectful, you know, here's a guy, you know, while he's davening shacharis, he's, in talus and tefillin, he's fixing the wheel on the wagon. They said, the Kedushas Levi, the Bedichever, looked at the scene and he said, wow, how incredible. A Jew puts on talus and tefillin and davens to the Ribbono Shel Olam even while he's in the midst of doing something as mundane as fixing the wheel on the wagon. So it's perspective. It's all a matter of perspective. And the idea that the Shem Yishmol brings out over here is that the deeper perspective of Yaakov Avinu, where Yaakov Avinu exonerates the Jewish people, is also emes. It's not that Eliyahu has emes and Yaakov cuts them slack. The cutting of the slack cutting, whatever the term is, of Yaakov Avinu is the real midas ha-emes, because he's able to see the real essence of what the Jewish people are all about. Right. Right, he doesn't make the connection, but perhaps one can, meaning Yaakov's emes is about balance. And, you know, it's balancing chesed and gevura. So perhaps the true emes is to be able to see as many sides of a picture, of a personality, of a situation as one possibly can, that idea of balance. And, you know, it's that sense of emes that Yaakov Avinu has, you know, over the perspective of Eliyahu. There's more. Bez Hashem will continue after Ma'ariv and finish off this beautiful piece in the Shem Yishmor. Okay, so this is part two of the Shir Shem Yishmor Parshas B'chukosai. Again, just to recap, you know, for anyone who might have forgotten during Ma'ariv what we spoke about, you know, which might include myself. But the Shem Yishmor is commenting on the Rashi, the Zoharti is Risti Yaakov, where the word Yaakov is the name Yaakov is written with an extra vav, And Rashi comments that there are five times where there's an extra vav in Yaakov, five times where the vav in Eliyahu is missing, because Yaakov took a vav from Eliyahu as a surety, as collateral, in order to ensure that Eliyahu would come and redeem the Jewish people. What does that mean? So Shem Yishmol explains that vav represents the nida, the attribute of truth, of emes. Eliyahu is the ultimate ish emes, and Yaakov has to take away some of that emes from Eliyahu, because an unadulterated emes is not going to enable the Gula to come. Somebody who looks at the Jewish people, you know, with a total unadulterated sense of emes, unfortunately is going to see all of our flaws and is not going to be able to bring in the Gula. So Yaakov, so to speak, has to take away the midas ha-emes from Eliyahu in order to enable him to come. Right. So as the Shem Yishmuel, the truth is it goes deeper than that, right? So that was an explanation that he gave earlier in his career, but now he says, I want to add a little bit to that. It's not just that Yaakov took away the midas ha-emes from Eliyahu. I mean, that Eliyahu was a man of absolute emes, and Yaakov was the man who could, you know, be a little bit more flexible with the truth. No, not at all. Yaakov's commitment to truth and his investment in truth was even deeper than that of Eliyahu. After all, Yaakov's midos, the midas ha-emes, titen emes le-Yaakov. So what does it mean that Yaakov took away the midas ha-emes from Eliyahu? Yaakov is also committed to truth. Zot the Shem Yishmuel, again, based on the Kotzker, there are multiple levels of truth. There's truth the way we perceive it superficially, and then there's truth the way we perceive it in a deeper sense, you know, when we go deeper into the truth. On one level, it's true that the Jewish people are sinners. That was the level of truth that Eliyahu was able to perceive. But Yaakov, it's not that he took away the midah of emes from Eliyahu. Yaakov's investment in truth, Yaakov's saturation with truth, which was even deeper than that of Eliyahu's. Yaakov was able to see past the superficial truth of the Jewish people, which is that they're sinners, and see the deeper truth. The deeper truth is that the Jewish people, acharei kichlos hakol, are committed to God, are committed to Torah, and, you know, whatever sins they've committed are just blips on the screen. They're just temporary misdeeds. So if one appreciates the true value of the Jewish people, he realizes that the Jewish people, in truth, really are ru'uyim le'ge'ula. They really are fit to be redeemed. So it's not that Yaakov, you know, is anti the truth of Eliyahu. Yaakov is also committed to truth. Just his truth is more true than the truth of Eliyahu. How do we have to bend the truth? Oh, Yaakov was bent the truth in order to get the Bechorah. Right, so the truth is, right, so, you know, there's an old question. I mean, how can Yaakov Avinu be associated with the Midah of Emes? If anything, you read the biography of Yaakov Avinu, as described in the Chumash, and again, on a superficial level, it seems like he's kind of a tricky guy, you know? I mean, he buys the Bechara from Esav, he tricks Yitzchak into giving him the Bracha instead of Esav, his dealings with Lavan, you know, again, you know, kind of like the old shell game, a shtickle, you know? I mean, you know, again, Chas v'Shalom, that's not the real understanding of Yaakov Avinu, but again, if you read the Chumash, it's Pashto Pshat, it sounds a lot like Yaakov Avinu. Not only is not Emes, I mean, it's, in many ways, it's far from Emes. So I think the Shem Yishmuel is a beautiful Pesach to be able to understand that question as well. Because I suspect the Shem Yishmuel would say, what Yaakov did may not appear to be MS on the surface, but is a manifestation of the deeper MS. Well, so let's take an example, right? I mean, the brachos, right? The whole episode with the brachos. Yaakov Avinu dresses up to get the brachos to Teful Yitzchak and all that. Okay, treachery, trickery, you know, that's what we see on the surface. But on a deeper level, if Esav is truly unfit to get the brachos, as he is, as we know that he is, so then, in a certain sense, Yaakov's ensuring that he gets the brachos from from Yitzchak is pursuing the deeper truth. The deeper truth is Yitzchak wants to give the brachos to someone who is going to be able to be his successor and someone who's going to be able to implement these brachos in the best possible way. If Yitzchak really saw things properly, Yitzchak would want to give Yaakov the brachos. So while on one level what Yaakov is doing is not so true, it's not so honest, right, one might say, on a deeper level, Yaakov is enabling Yitzchak to fulfill his real desires, which is to have somebody get the brachos who's going to be a worthy successor. Yaakov knows that Esav is not going to be a worthy successor. So, you know, it depends on how you define truth. I mean, that's, you know, in some level, I think what the Shem Yishvul's paradigm, you know, can be used for, you know, to answer up all of those kashas that we have when we read the story of Yaakov Avinu in the Chumash. Right. So that, you know, what I just described has the potential of being extremely dangerous when applied in real day life, you know? I mean, yes, it seems like I'm robbing the bank, but the truth is the money's coming to me. It should be my money, right? You know, I'm just taking that which is really truthfully mine, right? It's a good way to, you know, get locked up in the slammer for a really long time, right? So why isn't that just the same thing that we're describing with Yaakov? So I think the answer might lie in a Targum Unculus in Parshas Toldos, where, you know, Yaakov also, when Rivka presents this plan to him, is very, very hesitant. Like, what's going to happen? You know, it's not going to work. So Rivka says to him, Olai kilolos chabini. What's Olai kilolos chabini? So the Targum Unculus there translates, again, it's an atypical Targum Unculus because it's not a literal translation. More often than not, the Unculus is a literal translation. Here the Targum Unculus says, Alai yisamar b'nevuah. Rivka says, I got a nevuah from the Beis Medrash in Shem Ve'Ever that Yaakov, this is what you're supposed to do. So, you know, to answer your question, how is it that Yaakov is able to pursue this quote-unquote deeper truth, and we say that that's just fine and that's wonderful, but our imaginary bank robber who wants to pursue quote-unquote deeper truth, you know, we're not as sympathetic towards, to put it mildly. So I think the answer lies in that nevuah. In other words, if you work with that Targum Unculus, that Yaakov Avinu or Rivka was given a nevuah from the Ribono Shel Olam, that, you know, Yaakov should do this. So he got marching orders from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the bank robber can claim, you know, that he got marching orders from the Ribono Shel Olam to take back his money, you know, which unfortunately is ensconced in this bank, you know, and Nebuch, they're not letting him have this money, you know, that's really his. Okay, you know, so if he can truthfully say that, that's a different story, but, you know, that's a little bit more difficult to say. Kitzur, so let's just jump back into the Shem Yishmor. So, while Eliyahu is in possession of truth, Yaakov is in possession of a deeper truth. The deeper truth that deep down every Jew is really something beautiful. And, you know, there's a pintle yid that if you brush off the dust and the dirt, shines with an incredible glory. The Alkain, Leman Linakosam Ulahayasharam, Ein Lekane Aleim, Lishbok Aleim Charon Af. So what Yaakov understands that Eliyahu doesn't understand is that the way to correct the Jewish people is not to pour wrath upon them, not to beat them up, but rather l'rachem aleim l'harem aleim oros gedolim. It's to show mercy to the Jewish people, to open up the lights and let the light shine upon the Jewish people. V'oz v'meilo yimso minis mino v'nir v'apnimia shol Yisrael t'skalem v'oz v'meilo yispalek achet me'aleihem. Yaakov Avinu understands that since the Jews are essentially good, the way to elevate them is to connect to them in a way of compassion, to connect to them in a way of love, and that's going to bring them up. The derech of Eliyahu which is just to pour scorn upon them and to berate them and to admonish them, that Eliyahu, that, you know, that's only true for the superficial emes that Eliyahu sees. You know, they're doing bad, so you got to tell them to do good. For the deeper emes that Yaakov sees, that really these people are really good and that just there's dirt obscuring their true essence, there you have to love them, you have to, you know, pour rachmanis and compassion upon them, dust off the dirt, and then they'll be able to be lifted up. Then he adds as follows. The Echom Echaverim Nana Abastroi. The Shemesh will put in parentheses, in bracket, when I gave this drasha, one of the chaverim, one of the chassidim, added the following. Right, so by the Shemesh Shmuel also, people would add comments, and you know, if the Shemesh Shmuel liked it, he put it into the sefer. He said, "Shebezei yesh lefarish mashem midas emes hu midam yudgimol midas shel rachamim." Rabbi Rubin had made this point before. One of the 13 midos of rachamim, one of the 13 attributes of mercy associated with God, is emes, is truth. Hashem Hashem karachum v'chanun erech apayim v'rav chesed v'emes. The emes, right. Now, on the surface, emes doesn't really belong in the yud gimel midas harachamim, right? Because whereas the other yud gimel midas harachamim are all about God, you know, being merciful, being nice, cutting us slack, emes, the way we described it, is the opposite of that. Emes is strict justice. So I would, you know, if I were doing, you know, if I were commissioned to write the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, I wouldn't put MS in there. MS is the last thing I'd put in there. You know, Chesed, you know, Rachum, Chanun, okay, all that's great. MS. So said this Chosid. You know why it's there? Halo b'shas avodah zarah shebinyas ha'enes emes HaKadosh Baruch Hu oseh l'fnei mishurat hadin. Right, we learned already that MS is something that's strict justice. God doesn't go with the Mishra Sateh when it comes to MS. Lefi ha'amar hadvarim muvanim. But according to what we just said, says the Shemi Shmuel, the Chassid said, we understand why MS is in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. Because it's not the MS of Eliyahu that's in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. It's the MS of Yaakov that's in the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. The MS which is able to see to the true essence of what the Jew is all about. The Jew yearns to do the Ras and Hashem. The Jew yearns for Torah. The Jew yearns to do which is right. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu employs his Midas HaEmes, it means that he sees past the superficiality of the Jew and is able to appreciate the true inner essence of the Jew, the pnimius of the Jew. And that leads to Rachamim. Right, you know, that deep inside, you know, the Jew really, you know, the Jew who needs to give his wife a get really, really wants to give his wife a get and really wants to do the right thing. And when Kofin Osad Shiomerotza Ani, when we beat him up until he says, I want to, he's not being coerced. His true essence, his Pintel Yid, is coming out. Right, so this idea of the Pintel Yid, the inner point of the Jew, which wants to do that which is right, is very much, you know, a function of what the Shemesh Shmuel is saying over here. And comments to Shemesh Shmuel, V'yofa Omar, this anonymous chassid, you know, said good. You know, his application of my idea to Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim is a beautiful application. Well, the Fisa Yesh L'Farish HaDenato, Yaakov Avinu, Olav HaShalom, Osbav Shu Emes L'Eiravon. So that's what it means that Yaakov Avinu took the Vav, which is the Midas HaEmes. Hayu Shigbias Midas HaEmes Shil Eliyahu L'Midas HaEmes Shilo. It doesn't mean, like we said before, that Yaakov Avinu told Eliyahu, stop being such an emesdika guy, right? Stop being such an ish emes. Take that emes and he didn't take the Vav and throw it in the trash, right? He took the Vav and he made it his. He put it into his name. Meaning, Yaakov Avinu transformed the Midas HaEmes of Eliyahu into the Midas HaEmes of Yaakov. It's not that Yaakov Avinu said, forget about emes. Yaakov Avinu said, there's a deeper version of emes than what you have. The Vav that's at the end of your name is going to be the Vav that's in the middle of my name. Because we're going to transform and elevate this emes so that you can see the true depths of the situation. V'g'oz gam Eliyahu yireh b'midas HaEmes b'omek yoseh. The year Asher be Emes Yisrael Ruuyim Lehigoyel. If Eliyahu adapts the Midas HaEmes ala Yaakov, so that Eliyahu will be able to see Yaakov's Emes, that the Jewish people, despite all of our foibles and, you know, all of our sins and all of that, but deep down we are really Ruuyim LeGeula. We are really fit to be redeemed. Va'afilu kishen b'diyuta tachtona me'od even when we're on the lowest rung, you know, deep down, the essence of what our soul is all about is something very holy. If there's evil in us, it's just the outgrowth of the long years of galus that we've been in. When we will be redeemed, our true purity will come out. And that's what it means that he took it as an eravon, as a surety, right? In other words, he took it to say that the emes, the way you possessed it, Eliyahu, is not the true emes. I'm going to take it and deepen it so that it's a deeper emes, and then give it back to you, eravon, right? It's a, you know, it's a surety that's going to go back to you. I'm going to give it back to you not the way it was. I'm going to give it to you back to you farbeset. I'm going to give it back to you improved. And, you know, you'll take this improved model of MS, and then that will enable you to see what you really have to see. It struck me, again, you know, I think David's going to like this. This is a long, it's not quite a gematria, but it's along your lines. You know, when the Vav is in Eliyahu, it's at the end of the end of the name. When the Vav gets transferred to Yaakov, it moves up one notch, you know, to the next to last letter of Yaakov's name. Right? In other words, perhaps that transformation is not just by accident, but along the lines of the Shem Yishmuel, you know, MS in Eliyahu is on a lower madrega. MS, the Vav in Yaakov, is elevated. It's at a higher point, you know, within the name Yaakov itself, perhaps representing, you know, that the MS of Yaakov, again, like he says, is on a higher madrega than the MS of Eliyahu.
Yeah.
Right. In other words, you know, right. So he's able to bring in the geula when he goes from Eliyah to Eliyahu with the renewed, you know, power of the vav of the midas ha'emes that he has.
Just to point, wondering why five times, you know, do it five times. Why not 10 times? Why not one time? Pinchas went ahead and killed because of his midah of emes. He went ahead and got beat to show, and he seems to be extremely positive. Nothing lacking about his emes whatsoever. And now he seems to be going ahead and saying maybe it wasn't such a
Right. So two questions that Yaakov is posing over here. First of all, what's that? Our Yaakov only has a vav. Right. So Emes, really, I wouldn't lie. Cannot tell a lie. Why five? So, if memory serves, I think I spoke about this in Shul a number of years ago. Not the Shem Yishmuel, but a different Mahalach in the five vavs. And if memory serves, I think I suggested at the time the five vavs might correspond to Chamish Chumshei Torah. And, you know, if we take that idea, again, I used it for something different once upon a time, but if we take that idea and put it back into the Shem Yishmuel, perhaps the idea is as follows. You know, ultimately, true emes, you know, the perspective of emes that we have is honed through Torah. You know, the more the more Torah we're able to take into our own personalities, the more readily we're able to see the emes with fewer filters. Again, as the Kotzker pointed out, you can never really see emes without any filters. You know, unless you're the Kohen Gadol and the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. But at least, you know, the more Torah we learn, the more readily we can go, we can reach the MS of Eliyahu, and the more readily we can go up from the MS of Eliyahu to the MS of Yaakov. That's perhaps a suggestion about why it's five davka. In terms of the Kanos, the Pinchas, yeah, clearly Chazal look at the Kanos, the Torah and Chazal look at the Kanos of Pinchas in very, very positive terms. I don't think the Shem Yishmuel is suggesting that somehow that kanos of Pinchas is misplaced. It would be very hard to square that, A, with the simple psukim, B, with Chazal. Chazal speak in a laudatory fashion of what Pinchas did. The answer would seem to be that, you know, there are different situations that call for different kinds of emes. Meaning, in the situation that Pinchas found himself in, it's true that Zimri, deep down, you know, has this pintalayid that if you just brushed off the dirt, you know, would be able to shine. So what was Pinchas doing with the spear? You know, why didn't he come, you know, tap Pinchas on, tap Zimri on the shoulder and say, Reb Yid, did you put on tefillin this morning? You know, maybe if we do that, maybe that will elevate you and you won't have to, you know, you won't be involved in these kinds of things. So, Lachara, the answer is, and again, you know, experience, I think, just bears out this answer. Different situations call for different responses. It's true that, you know, ideally, the ultimate emes, that's which is going to bring the geula, is the perspective of Yaakov, that every Jew is holy and we can brush off the dirt and, you know, raise every Jew up. But there are times that call for the kanos, the pinchos, and, you know, it's not a steer, it's not a contradiction, because, you know, it's just different times call for different measures. Now, I think it's also fair to say that in terms of the proportion, you know, we try to have more of a proportion of Yaakov MS to Pinchas / Eliyahu MS, right? In other words, you know, we don't try to spear Jews every time they do something wrong. You know, that's reserved for very, very unique situations. But it's out there. In other words, there are times where, you know, the reaction of Kanaos is the appropriate reaction. You know, and that's the lesson of Pinchas.
Speaking of Pinchas says Elio, then we can understand from the same Shmuel why is above Ketiyah.
Right. I think David was mentioning that point as well. Why that for the Vav is broken by Pinchas, right? Because again, the MS that Pinchas dealt with was not a full MS. Now, again, that's not to be critical of Pinchas. So, you know, what did you want him to do? The circumstances were such that they demanded immediate action. You know, if he would have just tapped Zimri on the shoulder and said, please, let's learn some Mesilas Yesharim, right? That would not have worked. That would have, you know, allowed the Chil Hashem to perpetuate, right? There are times where the spear is called for. Okay. You know, but Lamaisa, just we should recognize that the MS, which is exemplified by the killing of Zimri, is an impartial MS, because deep down, even Zimri, you know, is a Jew who yearns to do to do the Dvar Hashem.
The
book's
shaped like a spear.
Yeah, Nachinami, right.
That's why it was cut.
Right, and that's why it's cut, because in other words, the MS, the way he perceived it, again, was right for that situation, but, you know, on a deeper level, Zimri as well is a fine, holy Jew who just wants to do the right thing. Okay, wish everyone a mazel tov on the completion of Sefer Vayikra Be'ezus Hashem this week. Chazak, chazak, v'nes chazek. Be'ez Hashem will continue next Wednesday night with Parshas Bamidbar, following Mincha, and we'll see everybody then. Wish everyone a good Shabbos.